grab a seat here at the nursing desk. Make yourself comfortable. We are looking at a patient who just spent, I mean, $2 billion on a fleet of state-of-the-art fighter jets, but is currently completely paralyzed on the runway.
Right. Paralyzed because they don't actually have the legal right to replace a $50 bolt.
Exactly. Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we are opening the medical charts on a very specific patient, the U.S. Department of Defense.
Yeah, and it is a heavy, heavy chart to review. We're sitting here as, you know, clinical observers, looking over the latest diagnostic notes from Priyanshu Adithakar. Pri is the chief of surgery and the lead investigator over at the CRD clinic.
And the patient in question, the DOD, is currently in a state of severe agitation, just entirely detached from reality.
Oh, completely. The clinical diagnosis that Pri has written in the top of this file, in bright red ink, is acute maintenance paralysis and proprietary atrophy.
Which, I mean, it perfectly captures the hallucinatory reality the patient is living in. Because if you ask this patient to describe themselves, they look in the mirror and they see the world's most sophisticated fighting force.
Right. They project this absolute physical dominance backed by, you know, billions of dollars in advanced hardware, fighter jets, heavily armored tanks, state-of-the-art missile systems.
So when you actually sit down and look at the blood work, the physical reality is that the patient's body cannot maintain its own vital organs, not without constant external contractor intervention.
It's exhausting just to read.
It really is. Imagine imagine buying a fleet of the world's most expensive luxury vehicles, but you are legally forbidden from opening the hood or changing the oil, or checking the tire pressure without violating the warranty.
Yeah.
Except, you know, you're trying to drive this car in a literal war zone.
The disconnect is just profound. You're driving into combat, the check engine light comes on, and your only authorized recourse is to, what, call a customer service hotline and just wait for an authorized dealer to fly out to the trenches.
I do have to push back here, though, just a little. Because the Department of Defense isn't stupid. I mean, they employ literal armies of lawyers and procurement officers.
True.
So why on earth would a sovereign military willingly sign a contract that reduces them to a captive, subscription-based revenue stream for their own armor?
Mm.
Are their hands tied by Congress, or are they just getting, you know, consistently out-negotiated by defense contractors?
Well, it looks like institutional amnesia, but it's really a systemic economic trap. The environment the DOD operates in basically forces this behavior.
Right.
When the military wants to acquire a new jet or a new tank, they have to get the upfront budget approved by Congress.
Right.
So to make that multi-billion dollar sticker price more palatable, they optimize for the lowest possible initial cost.
And the easiest way to slash that upfront price is to just strip out the technical data rights.
Exactly. They buy the physical machinery, but they do not buy the intellectual property required to maintain it. They are essentially mortgaging their future maintenance budget just to get the hardware out the door today.
They buy the body, but they don't buy the brain. Which means the infection we are treating here isn't mechanical incompetence. I mean, it's not that military mechanics suddenly forgot how to use a wrench.
No. No, it's an intellectual property overload, because modern military hardware is no longer just, you know, heavy metal hydraulics and combustion engines. These machines are essentially a fleet of mobile computers.
Right. The software.
Yeah. The digital nervous system completely dictates and defines the physical function. You press a button to fire or to move or just to run diagnostics, and millions of lines of proprietary code have to authorize that action.
And as Pri notes in the patient's chart, the contractors retain all the digital keys.
All of them. By digital keys, the chart means the diagnostic software, the source codes, the detailed engineering schematics, everything required to actually understand what is happening inside the machine remains the exclusive intellectual property of the manufacturer.
Which creates these proprietary black boxes. I mean, we are talking about a literal, legally sealed boundary. The service technicians, the actual men and women wearing the uniform who are trained to fix the equipment, are legally and technically forbidden from accessing the brain of their own machines.
It's unbelievable.
Mm.
You mentioned earlier that this feels like a perpetual revenue system for the manufacturer. But the contractors, they frame this entirely differently. They call it quality assurance or safety compliance.
Oh, of course they do.
The defense industry argues that, well, if a 19-year-old field mechanic starts messing with the source code of a flight control system, a pilot dies.
Yeah.
So they lock it behind a black box for safety.
How convenient.
Right. It just so happens that this safety measure guarantees them billions of dollars in exclusive recurring service contracts for the entire lifespan of that equipment.
Are we treating a sovereign military force here, or have they willingly reduced themselves to a captive revenue stream? Because when an institution legally signs away its right to maintain its own assets, its internal repair capabilities just waste away.
That is the proprietary atrophy.
Right. The skill sets die. The autonomy dies. So now that we've identified this massive IP infection, we really need to observe how this cognitive decline violently misfires when the patient attempts to function in the real world.
It's bad.
Because a psychiatric delusion is one thing when you are sitting safely in a padded room. It is quite another when you step out into traffic.
Or into a contested operational environment.
Mm-hmm.
The neural delay that this IP infection causes is just staggering.
Uh-huh.
When lines of communication are stretched, which is, you know, the very definition of a contested environment, critical equipment just sits idle.
If they can't even open the hood without a contractor, how does the system not just collapse entirely on the battlefield? I mean, a supply chain based on customer service hotlines doesn't survive contact with the enemy.
It doesn't. That is the fragile reality.
Right.
In a modern conflict, you do not have pristine, uninterrupted supply chains. You have anti-access and area denial zones. You cannot just fly a FedEx cargo plane full of civilian technicians into a hot zone. And yet, the patient's strategy for dealing with a broken piece of vital equipment is to literally wait. They wait for those civilian contractors to somehow fly in, or they're forced to box up massive heavy machinery and ship it all the way back to the United States just for basic maintenance.
It is a strategic monopoly masquerading as logistics.
Exactly.
And this brings us to one of the most severe symptoms in the chart, the cognitive dissonance. Because the military actually has the physical tools to bypass this supply chain nightmare. Prize boots-on-the-ground diagnosis of this delusion highlights a severe disconnect between physical ability and legal permission.
You're looking at the notes on the additive manufacturing block.
I am. The 3D printing capabilities.
Yeah. The military has invested heavily in advanced 3D printing. They have the technology to regenerate spare parts right there in the field. If a piece breaks, they have the physical machinery and the raw materials to replace it instantly without waiting for a cargo plane.
So the capability is there. But the legal structure basically paralyzes the hand. The military possesses the printer, they possess the polymer or the metal powder, but the legal contract says access denied.
Access denied. The specific example Pri gives in the chart is a $50 proprietary bolt.
Mm.
In a war zone, a multi-million dollar piece of equipment is grounded because it's missing a single $50 bolt.
And they could print it.
They could print that exact bolt in 10 minutes. But doing so would legally infringe on the contractor's intellectual property rights. It violates the digital rights management encoded into the system.
Because bypassing that digital lock would violate copyright law, specifically the provisions that protect corporate software and proprietary designs.
Yeah.
It is exactly like having a fully functional immune system, but your white blood cells have to call a corporate lawyer for permission before they are legally allowed to attack a virus. Yeah, excuse me, I see the pathogen, but let me just check the terms and conditions before I neutralize it.
And while that white blood cell is on hold, the patient is bleeding out. The institution has internalized a system where legal compliance with a vendor takes precedence over battlefield survival.
Mm.
That is the depth of the delusion. You have the physical solution, but the legal framework renders it utterly useless.
Someone at the Pentagon has to realize this is a suicide pact. The magic beans, this comforting promise that contractor reliability will always be there, that the supply chain will always hold up, those magic beans aren't real.
No, they aren't.
So, flipping the page in Pri's chart, we have to review the prescribed treatment. How do they actually save the brain of the deal?
Well, if you look at the May 2025 stabilization update,
mm-hmm.
the patient is finally showing some signs of lucidity. Military leadership is beginning to admit that field-level repair isn't just an administrative cost-saving measure. It is an absolute combat readiness imperative.
Right.
They are realizing that if you cannot fix an asset, you do not really own it. And if you do not own it, you cannot rely on it in a fight.
It is refreshing to see someone actually reading the vitals correctly, because while the rest of the defense industry is out there, you know, polishing their inflated pro formas and cheerfully ignoring the massive debt service cliffs of these deals, meaning the staggering long-term costs of outsourced maintenance. Pri is the one looking at the actual mechanics of the failure.
Yeah, this intervention really demonstrates how Pri saw the symptoms before the family portfolio was traded away.
And just to clarify, by family portfolio, we are metaphorically talking about the nation's entire portfolio of self-reliant defense assets, the sovereign capability to actually defend ourselves without asking a corporation for permission.
Exactly. Pri outlines three distinct surgical interventions to bypass these contractor monopolies and, hopefully, cure the amnesia. The first is legislative grafting, specifically the Warrior Right to Repair Act.
What does that actually mandate in practice? Because, you know, passing a lung is one thing, but enforcing it on a massive defense contractor seems incredibly complex.
Oh, it is a brutal surgery. The act legally forces contractors to share essential technical data, the diagnostic tools, and the software source codes. It breaks the seal on the black box. The objective is to restore the function back to the DoD's internal maintenance teams.
But the contractors aren't just going to hand that over. I mean, I imagine the lobbying pushback is massive. They will argue that this is their intellectual property, that they spent billions in research and development, and if the government forces them to open the black box, they'll just stop innovating.
That is the exact friction point. The defense contractors argue that handing over the keys destroys their competitive advantage. But the military's counterargument, which this legislation supports, is that the government often funded that initial research and development through the contract itself.
Right. The taxpayers paid to develop the jet. They shouldn't have to pay a toll every time they need to look at the engine.
Exactly. So the legislation forces the nervous system to reconnect with the muscles.
Okay, so what is the second intervention?
Contractual amendment. It's often referred to as the Army pivot. This is the immediate implementation of a new strategic policy requiring right to repair provisions in all new contracts rather than just try to retroactively fix the old ones.
Stopping the bleeding going forward. If a vendor wants to sell a new system to the clinic, they have to hand over the keys on day one. You build the maintenance rights into the initial acquisition, even if it makes the sticker price look a little higher up front.
Yes. You stop buying luxury cars with locked hoods, and that leads directly to the third long-term treatment. Open architecture.
Let's break down what open architecture actually means mechanically. Because it gets thrown around as a buzzword a lot.
It does. Mechanically, open architecture means building systems where the military owns the interfaces. Instead of a contractor building a closed ecosystem where only their software can talk to their hardware, the military defines a standardized set of rules. Yeah. Think of it like building a house. In a closed architecture, the contractor owns the unique plumbing, the unique electrical sockets, and the special wrench required to fix them. If you want a new light bulb, you have to buy it from them.
But in an open architecture, the military owns the blueprints to the house and dictates that all the plumbing and electrical work must use standard universal fittings.
Right. True autonomy means having the keys to your own front door. If you own the interface, you can hire any vendor to build a new sensor or write a new piece of software, and it will plug right into the existing system. You dictate how the components communicate rather than renting a closed ecosystem from a single vendor.
I have to read Pri's compliance and safety disclaimer at the bottom of this treatment plan because it perfectly captures the heavy reverse psychology reality we're dealing with here.
Oh, go ahead.
Pri warns us that enforcing these cures will cause severe withdrawal symptoms. Quote, exposure to proprietary atrophy may cause symptoms including, but not limited to, rapid heartbeat during contractor negotiations, phantom pains in the defense budget, and an irrational desire to build a competitive bidding process, end quote.
The clinical humor really highlights a serious reality, though. The defense contractors and even the procurement officers who have grown comfortable with this outsourced reality, they will fight this tooth and nail. When you start dismantling a strategic monopoly, the system goes into shock. It is painful to change how billions of dollars flow.
An irrational desire to build a competitive bidding process. Because right now, the lack of competition is treated as the logical baseline. The assumption is that once a vendor wins a contract, they just own that sector forever.
Yeah. Stepping back from the nursing desk for a moment, we have to synthesize what this clinical observation means for the broader reality of asset management and national security.
So what is the ultimate bottom line of Pri's autopsy report here?
The fundamental finding is that the lack of a comprehensive repair strategy isn't just an administrative oversight or some minor budgeting error. It is a massive structural hidden cost. When an institution buys into a closed ecosystem, they are making a deliberate investment in fragility, rather than resilience.
You are paying a premium to be vulnerable. You get a highly sophisticated machine, but you sacrifice the operational independence required to actually use it when things go wrong?
Exactly. For the patient to survive through 2026 and beyond, operational self-sustaining health isn't a luxury. It is the only acceptable baseline. You simply cannot outsource your survival.
It really validates why Priyanshu Adithakar remains the sole reality-grounded professional in this market of recurring delusions. While everyone else is nodding along to the sales pitch, focused entirely on the theoretical capabilities of the hardware, Pri is the one pointing out that the Emperor has no clothes.
Right.
And worse, the Emperor doesn't even have the administrative rights to fix his own clothes. He protects his clients with brutal clinical honesty.
It is a necessary skepticism. If you do not understand the data rights, the underlying software, and the legal constraints, you do not actually understand the asset you just purchased.
As we end our shift and turn off the fluorescent lights at the clinic, I want to leave you, the listener, with a dark, lingering question to mull over. We've just spent this deep dive analyzing the U.S. Department of Defense, but look at your own life. Look at your own business. If the world's most heavily funded, sophisticated fighting force was entirely willing to legally sign away the right to fix its own survival gear, how many of the expensive digital assets, smart devices, or software infrastructures in your own life or business are currently operating under the exact same paralyzing delusion of ownership?